I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes, absolutely dominant on short
the
routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. Oh, my God, Matt Harmon. I got to be honest with you. There was so much stuff going on at the end of last week, man. I could not wait to talk to you and do this podcast on today's show, bro. I mean, just so much. Just craziness in the NFL streets.
Yeah, craziness in the NFL streets, particularly at our position, the wide receiver position here on Reception,
right.
Perception,
right.
The show. So, I mean, dude, yeah, it's crazy just how much has happened since the last time we spoke. Yep. Like, I mean, mountains and mountains and mountains and mountains of things. We had some fantastic weather here in Virginia Beach for the first time, okay, you know, since like last summer. And I was inside for probably the vast majority of it because I was like, oh my God, we've got too much work. We got to get a Keenan Allen profile out. We got to get a Drake London. We got to get Deontay Johnson, Curtis Samuel. We're going to talk about some of that on the show. I mean, yeah, listen, there was a lot of work that needed to be done so that we could talk about some of these big things that maybe were not so easy to see coming, but sort of were kind of easy to see coming. Hey, we'll get into it, man. I mean, I'm jacked up to talk as well.
So we'll start with the Keenan Allen trade, okay? And we had been looking at this for a long time now, right? Where we're looking at the Charger salary cap situation. And I said, hey, listen, they're most likely to move on from Mike Williams, but don't be surprised if they actually move on from Keenan Allen as well. I was not expecting a trade. Once they cut Mike Williams, definitely was not expecting the trade of Keenan Allen, especially because their two defensive ends and Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack also agreed to, you know, various restructures and all that kind of thing. So I thought they were okay, but it sounded like this was a money-driven move again. Keenan Allen traded to Chicago, man. I just, again, an absolute shocker. Ryan Poles knocked this one out the park, setting the table, clearing the table here now. If they do end up going with Caleb Williams, which obviously 99.99% sure they're going to go Caleb Williams, sets the table for the rookie quarterback to have a pretty nice, you know, cast of characters coming in his rookie year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that there's no doubt about that. This is a really good situation for a rookie quarterback to get dropped into. I actually want to talk about the Chargers part of this first, because I'm with you that, like, even when you brought up the Keenan Allen trade possibility, my first thought was, of the four guys that we knew they'd have to do something with in terms of contract, the Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Joey Bosa, mm-hmm. and Khalil Mack, my thought was Mike Williams is the most likely to be gone. Keenan Allen is the most likely to stay. And I think that was... That was actually reported elsewhere too. Like, just my read on the situation is that Keenan was the most likely to stay because he is the of those four players, he is the best player of the four and still in a really good spot in his career. So and I actually think that the team probably wanted that too. I think that Jim Harbaugh and this new front office probably wanted Keenan Allen to stay, but they went to Keenan Allen and said, hey, will you take a pay cut? And he said, nope.
No.
And nope, not going to do that. And that was, he let that be known. And number one, shout out to him for letting it be known. And number two, shout out to him for just saying no. Like, I'm coming off my, he said his best season. He certainly was incredibly productive. He was coming off a season where he felt like he did not have to take a pay cut. He did not have to feel like his pay was going to be reduced. And I respect the hell out of him for just saying, like, nope, you know, because guess what? This is a business, man. And I do think it sucks that Keenan Allen, who has just been an awesome Charger and has been an awesome player, for me, I think it sucks when guys like that don't play. I just think it's cool when players play for one team their entire career. You know, we have NFL legends retiring this offseason and Aaron Donald and Jason Kelsey, you know, Mike Evans going back to Tampa Bay. I like that stuff. I just think that stuff is cool. So it sucks to see, like, all right, franchise legend traded for a fourth round pick. Like, that to me, that sucks. But I respect the hell out of Keenan Allen approaching it like a businessman and stuff like that. So, like, I think that they probably, like, wanted Keenan Allen to stay. I think they probably wanted him to be, like, I don't read into, oh, the Chargers. I guarantee you, James, and, you know, this is going to happen. Like, the fantasy community is going to read way too much into, like, oh, Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball and all this stuff. They definitely want to run the ball, but, I mean, come on. This is, this receiver core was not, we all knew they were going to move on from these guys. So this is, like, double counting that sort of initiative, I think, in my opinion. It is. Like, I think that Bosa and Khalil Mack were willing to take pay cuts. That's why they are there. Keenan Allen was not willing to take a pay cut. That is why he is elsewhere. So, I was still stunned to see Keenan Allen traded just because of all the stuff I said about his connection to the franchise, but it was a move that you could have seen coming just from where they were at financially and where Keenan is at this point in his career as well.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I was talking about this, you know, months ago in regards to his contract. Listen, his base salary is $18.1 million. He's got a roster bonus of $5 million. So he's slated to make it 2024 $23 million, right? Mm-hmm. So you can understand at the age of 32 why, from a team standpoint, they're like, hey, listen, let's restructure. I'm surprised they didn't want to talk about a contract extension, which would have obviously, you know, mellowed out his cap hit quite a bit here. And who knows, maybe Chicago does that, but he's an unrestricted free agent in 2025 at the age of 33. And when he talks about, hey, he put together his best season, who are we to disagree? Okay, 150 targets, 108 receptions, basically 1250 through the air and 7 touchdowns in just 13 games, Matt. He had a career high in receptions and yards, both totals and per game. So yeah, when Keenan Allen is talking about he put together his best season, that's not cap. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, he actually did that. Career high receptions and yards, both totals and per game. This guy was absolutely balling for the Chargers last year.
Yeah, so I mentioned that I charted him over the weekend. I come away from that feeling like, yeah, Keenan Allen put together one of his most productive seasons. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's clearly not the same player that he used to be. Like, I just think that. Right. So I kind of like, did he put together his best season? I mean, I don't know about that, but because I think he's just a very different player. He's still an incredibly productive, good, and valuable player. And I love this trade for Chicago. So we'll get to that part. Like, I think this is it's a great move for them, but like, I think Jim Harbaugh and this new front office can watch the film back from this Chargers offense last year. And Keenan Allen is one of the few things that's going right about that unit last year, because they just have nothing on the outside.
Nothing.
You know?
Oh, God, nothing.
I, nothing after Mike Williams goes down three games into the season. Tore his ACL in week three against Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
And we know that they tried to put Quentin Johnston in that X receiver role, and that was a disaster.
Oh,
Josh Palmer is like a fine, I mean, he's just like a fine number three receiver. He should not be the best receiver on your roster, your best outside receiver on your roster. And he was last season. That's super problematic. So a lot of issues with that Chargers receiver core last year beyond Keenan Allen. But, you know, at the same time, like, and again, I don't want to denigrate Keenan Allen because he's been one of my favorite receivers in the league over the last, you know, 10 years. But where Keenan Allen is at this stage of his career, like, it's not a coincidence that people have been complaining about Justin Herbert only throwing the ball short and like short for the last, you know, few seasons. And the guy that's inhaling all the volume in the offense is Keenan Allen. Like, that's not a coincidence because that's where Keenan Allen wins.
Yeah.
You look at his 2023 reception perception profile, 61.4% of his routes were a dig, a curl, a slant, a screen, or a flat route. Like, that's it. And that's, by the way, that's really smart because Keenan Allen is still one of the best receivers in the NFL on those routes. 87.3% success rate on the slant, 83.3% success rate on the curl, 93.1% success rate on the flat route. Like, when the full season of data is charted out from last season, those three scores are going to be among the best for any receiver sample. Like, I guarantee you, because those are extremely high per route scores. He's great at getting separation on those routes. But at this point in his career, and this wasn't always the case, but at this point in his career, he's not getting a lot of separation, you know, down the field. Because while he is still a premier route runner, like, I think a textbook teach tape route runner, you know, you talk to young receivers in the league, they still tell you the guy I study in terms of his route running is Keenan Allen. That is still true to this day, but he's just physically not as explosive, not as fast as he used to be. So, like, his overall success rate versus man score, you know, we talked about this last season, dropped down during an injury-ruined hamstring sample, was like 66.9%. He clearly bounced back from that, but his success rate versus man is 71.9%, which is well shy of his career peak, which was like 77.1%, 77.6%, 76.6%, 76.6% from 2015 to 2019, and then even 2020, 77.3%. Like, so he was so consistent, so dominant against man coverage. That's just not the case anymore. Like, 71.9% is still a fine score. He's still 80% success rate versus zone. That's really good, especially for a slot guy who's going to play off the line. He played off the line at a higher rate this past season than any other season in his entire career. So, like, I think the Chargers knew that Keenan Allen, I don't want to say, like, it was a declining player or a diminished player. I think he's just a different player than he was in his prime. So they adjusted his role. They adjusted his routes, which is super smart for a player that's, he's 32 years old, man. Like, this is just the way it is. This is the way the NFL goes. Like, if you're going to extend your career as a receiver, you're probably going to have to change your role around a little bit. The Chargers did that for him, and he crushed it in that role. The problem is, like, again, when you're funneling your offense through that guy and you have nothing going on outside,
it's limited.
It's very limited, especially when you are a team, which the Chargers do want to be. I think, again, people are going to overreact to this, but they want to run the ball and they want to push the ball vertically on play action shots. Like, you're not doing that to Keenan Allen at this point in his career. So I think there was a little bit of, like, you know, if we're going to keep Keenan Allen around, we have to give him like 150 targets. You know, does that really make sense? So I understand where the push and pull of this is and why his time with the Chargers had ended and why it came to this, even if he's still, like, in his mind, and I think he's right, a great player who deserves a bag.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. Obviously, he will be entering his age, his age 33 season, I believe, coming into 2024. Yeah, no, age 32 season. So he'll be 33 when he's an unrestricted free agent next year. We'll see. We'll see if Chicago tries to give him a little mini extension to try to, you know, work out those cap numbers there. Although, I mean, they're at the point where I guess it really doesn't matter because, I mean, golly, they don't even have a quarterback signed as of right now. So who knows? Maybe they're just playing with house money right now. Okay. Now, that being said, can I just, before we get to the Bears part of it, bro, the Chargers, we talked about this last week, Matt, where, are they bottom 10? The Chargers got to be a bottom three unit right now.
Yeah. I think they're the No, dude. I think we can comfortably say they're the worst receiver room in the NFL right now. Like I think the starting duo of Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnson is in fact the worst receiver.
Okay,
I think it's worse. I mean, I guess I could sit here and look, but I'm pretty
Is there a point? Yeah. No.
Yeah, off the dome, I'm pretty sure that's the worst.
Oh my god.
The Giants are pretty bad.
Yeah, the Giants are there.
Giants
but,
are pretty bad.
I mean, I tell you what, I'd rather have Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson than Quentin Johnston and nothing, you know? Right. I mean, it's tough. It's tough right now. So obviously they got to be thinking wide receiver here in the draft, but man, this is just, it's so brutal for Justin Herbert, man. You know, again, we know Roman's going to come in and do the thing and, you know, Jim Harbaugh's going to come in and do the thing, but are the Chargers just wasting this dude's prime of his career right now? What's going on, Justin Herbert, man? Like, I can't believe the Chargers are going to try to go into 2024 with whatever they've got at wide receiver right now. Even if they end up getting like a Odunze or whatever as a rookie, it's hard to fathom with Justin Herbert as your quarterback.
Yeah, it is pretty funny that the immediate blowback you get from some people online and like Chargers fans is, well, they're going to draft somebody fifth overall. Like they're going to draft a rookie, which one, maybe. I think it's more likely that they take a receiver fifth overall now that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are gone than maybe I felt like this time a week ago when I thought Keenan Allen was going to be on the roster. I think it's probably more likely, but I still think they're a trade down team. I think they're an offensive line team. Like it's very possible they trade out of that fifth overall pick. So number one, maybe they take a receiver. It's also funny for like Chargers fans to be saying that when it's like, you guys know sometimes first round receivers aren't ready to rock. I mean, I think all those guys, all the guys that they could take at fifth overall are like multiple tiers better than Quentin Johnston was as a prospect. But again, know the risk that some of these guys need development coming into the league. Right. So that's just like, even if Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze or even Marvin Harrison, like that's still not a good receiver room because of everybody you have behind that guy. So that's number one part of it. I think the Chargers are in the point. They're in a situation where like the Bears found themselves in this situation a couple of years ago where this roster is so bad. It's been so mismanaged and it's just rotted to the core that the only thing we can have really to hang our hats on is the fact that we have Justin Herbert. At least they have that. But I think they are in this position where teams like I said, the Bears found themselves where we need to take one step back to go two steps forward. So they are in that position right now where I think they might look at it as, we're not going to put maybe a good receiver room around Justin Herbert this season, but they've just got to get back to the foundation of being a good football team. Because, again, I know people bristle at when, like, Greg Roman says, can you imagine Justin Herbert with a good running game? Yeah, well can you? Because, we actually haven't seen that. I love my guy Austin Eckler, and, like, he put up a ton of production. But Austin has even said this on our show that he's been frustrated with the run game at times, when he's been super productive and he hasn't felt like it's always been as consistent as it needed to be. And I'm not saying that's Eckler's fault, but there are other, like the offensive line hasn't always been great. I don't think their run game design has always been good, especially under Joe Lombardi was real good. And you know, they have never been able to find a legitimate running mate to Austin Eckler. So I don't blame the Chargers if they're trying to just fix everything, get back in a positive salary cap position, and then 2025 and beyond might be the year they go and like really push into it with Justin Herbert.
Could be. We'll hope. I'm hoping for Justin Herbert's sake because I just think he's an extremely talented player who has not been unlocked in any way, shape, or form as of yet. Anyways, okay, so we move on from the Chargers. Let's talk about Chicago a little bit. Again, Keenan Allen is going to team up with DJ Moore over there. This is an incredibly interesting duo. We've got DJ Moore in the prime of his career. Obviously, Keenan Allen sort of on the sunset of his career, but still put together a great season there in 2023. Matt, this is a guy in Keenan Allen that played about 60% of his snaps in the slot. DJ Moore, I think, can kind of move inside outside. So if we're talking 60-40 inside outside for Keenan Allen and 40-60 inside outside for DJ Moore, again, this is I think two movable guys that end up being pretty interesting.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I love the way this duo sets up for the Chicago Bears. I think this is a great pairing. I think this is, you know, I'd have to go back and think about it, but I can't really remember a receiver duo that was this good that like a rookie quarterback is finding himself paired with.
That's a good point.
I can't think of any in recent history. Maybe we can go back and think about it. But again, like rookie quarterback, first round quarterback getting dropped into this situation, it's pretty good. Now, we know the Bears are in this situation not because they stink. The Bears actually are playing good football by the end of the season, especially on defense. They're in this position because the Carolina Panthers are a running operating joke. So that's why they find themselves in the first overall pick to get Caleb Williams to begin with. So that's all part of this. And by the way, we're talking about DJ Moore. He's here because of what I just said about the Carolina Panthers too. But I love the way this receiver room, this receiver duo specifically sets up for the Chicago Bears because of what we're talking about with Keenan Allen during the Chargers part of this year. Like Keenan Allen is still a very, very, very good wide receiver, but he is a kind of specific application player at this point. Like I mentioned, in his reception perception sample, he was in the slot or backfield on over 63% of his snaps as kind of backfield is like a pre-snap motion type of option. You want to keep him off the line of scrimmage. He was lined up behind the line on a career high 72.5% of his sampled snaps in RP. And like I mentioned, 61.4% of his routes were dig, curl, slant, screen, flat, short, intermediate routes, those layup routes. I think the term, we throw quarterback friendly around for receivers and pass catchers at times. Like Keenan Allen probably is the epitome, the peak of the quarterback friendly archetype. So that's great for Caleb Williams and all that. But again, all this like receiver stuff specific with Keenan Allen, I think DJ Moore is one of these guys that you could line him up at all three positions. Like he can be a vertical X receiver and he can separate. He can be a flanker. You move him around to different positions. He can line up in the slot and kind of be used on some of these quick hitting routes. But yeah, I mean, look, Mike Williams is a good player. He's a good X receiver. He was in the prime of his career for sure. But even with Keenan Allen, there was nobody in LA when he's been putting up all these stats that has really been a true man coverage beater on the outside, a vertical separator like a DJ Moore can be at that X receiver position. So the way these two guys can work off of each other, like that gives you a, okay, the high low concept, like DJ Moore's your high read. And if that's not there, then you get it to Keenan Allen because he's going to be open, right? Like he's going to be there. So I think that just creates such a good environment, not just for the quarterback, but also for these two receivers to work off of each other, specifically how you can get the best out of what Keenan Allen is at this point of his in his career because of who DJ Moore is as a vertical separation X receiver who beats man coverage on the outside.
DJ Moore played on the outside 80% of his snaps in 2023. I don't know, Matt. I feel as if they would be better off, Chicago would, to, again, to your point, I think mix him around a little bit. I think we saw a little bit more of that in Carolina at times. And I really liked that when I saw DJ Moore kind of play inside, outside, and whether it's flanker, X, you know, slot. I think he's got the skill set to be able to play, as you mentioned, all three positions, those wide receiver positions. And because of that, I think that's when he becomes the most deadly version of himself, when they do move him around and they don't just try to pin him on the X.
Totally agree. I agree with you that I think he's a guy that, man, I complained a lot during his Carolina days about how the Matt Rhule coaching staff did not get enough out of DJ Moore in yards after catch situations. And he got a lot Great more point. Of those opportunities with the Bears last season, even on some non-traditional man coverage routes, because he was just – I go back to that Washington game on Thursday Night Football when he was like demolishing. And to be fair, Emmanuel Forbes got kind of taken to the woodshed by a lot of different people as a rookie, but like he was cutting up Washington in man coverage on curl routes and comeback routes and still getting yards after catch. So that is interesting to me. I think just, again, the cool part about this is, shoot, Shane Waldron's offense in Seattle, and I sometimes this annoyed me a little bit last year, but it was very strict, like 11 personnel, and we just asked these guys to just win ISO routes. I hope they use the middle of the field more than they did. I think they probably will with these receivers, because Keenan Allen, all those routes we talked about, in-breaking, intermediate, short routes, that's going to be part of his game. I think DJ Moore is great on those in-breaking, short and intermediate, and vertical routes as well. So I think that middle of the field will be more activated. But a lot of what we saw out of Shane Waldron last year in Seattle was a lot of ISO routes. And these are two guys that can win in isolation and are going to be tough to and like Keenan Allen's going to have a lot of one-on-one man coverage and zone coverage situations in the slot. Number one, because it's really difficult to double a slot receiver as it is. You have to really kind of bend and break your defensive rules. We talk about that a lot on the show. But because of who DJ Moore is out there, I mean, that is going to be a really hard situation for defense to account for. Like, so, shoot, you tell Keenan Allen to go up there and like run an option route on third down. I think he's going to be like a third down machine.
The last
point about this I would make, too, about why I really like this trade, and, you know, we'll see if they give him an extension, whatever. But like, I don't think trading a fourth round pick, you know, and when you're on that F it rookie quarterback timeline, you know, giving Keenan Allen however much he's going to count against the cap this year, I don't think that has to take you out of taking a receiver at ninth overall. Like, if one of those guys, Roma Dunze, if he falls to number nine, like, I don't think you have to trade up for him right now, because which I thought maybe they would, but they only have four draft picks, do the Bears, which is the Bears always seem to find themselves low on draft picks because they make a lot of trades, but you know, whatever. That's part of Ryan Poles' strategy. It was kind of part of the previous GM's strategy as well. But like, say one of those guys falls, and then you still have a hole at outside receiver, because your other receivers beyond DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, you know, they re-signed Dante Pettis, who's a special teamer. Velus Jones, that's not a thing. Tyler Scott, rookie last season, we didn't really see a lot from. Colin Johnson, who's like a career journeyman receiver. So there's still definitely a need for another outside receiver here. I think that might be, some people might call that overkill when you certainly have other needs on your roster. But again, I don't think Keenan Allen takes you out of the receiver business, and continuing to make a strength stronger is good when you can just continue. And Keenan Allen has an injury history, so having another guy in the building is probably a good idea.
I have always said this, and we talked about this when we were talking about the Jamar Chase, Penei Sewell back in the day. Make a strength stronger and you force other teams to bend to you, right? We're not chasing this optimal roster construction where everything is balanced. Okay, we're not Thanos up in this bitch. Okay, it's like, we're not looking for balance. That's not how this works. Okay, if you look at the truly special teams in the NFL, in NFL history, it's not that they were good everywhere, it's that they were great somewhere, right? So that's what you want, I think, from a roster build standpoint. And you just want to be competent everywhere else, okay? Be average everywhere else, but have a true strength. You know, and if Chicago makes this trade for Keenan Allen, they go get Caleb Williams, then they go and turn around and go get another wide receiver. You know, again, another high-level wide receiver. Turn that into a strength, man, mm-hmm. and make other teams bend to you. That's what the good teams do, okay? They're not looking for balance up in this, you know? Come on, man. Like, so no, I'm all about it, man. Like, go all in. If you want to go, you want to get crazy with the pass game, let's get crazy with the pass game. That's what I want to see. So yeah, I would be very excited if they ended up doing that, you know? Just go crazy in the pass game and let's just get after it. That would be a lot of fun. Okay, so Chicago now, if you take a look at their overall offense, even if they don't make another high-level move at wide receiver, it's DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, who I think has really flashed, right? And then DeAndre Swift, who they also picked up in the offseason here too. Man, I tell you what, this is, my guy, that's a pretty good core if we're talking about an offense for Caleb Williams, man. That's not a bad core they've got in Chicago.
And their offensive line, that's another position, by the way. I know Braxton Jones has been a good player at left tackle, but, you know, if one of these tackles is at the ninth overall pick, there's a chance they could go there, right?
Yeah, that's
certainly possible. So, but this is a line generally that they've invested in, that they've added players to. Darnell Wright was a first-round pick for them last year. So it's not a joke of an offensive line. Like, people look at Justin Fields' sack numbers, it's like that's more of a Justin Fields problem than a Bears offensive sure. line problem, even if at times – this has not been a good offensive line. I think right now it's a better unit than it has been in previous seasons. So, again, this is a place where if you're a rookie quarterback, you should want to go to. I know that the Bears 100%. Have a horrible history with quarterbacks, right? They just ship off Justin Fields. I understand that. You know, it was Mitch Trubisky before him.
Yeah.
This is a different front office. It's a different coaching staff, even down to like – the business side of the like Kevin Warren, former Big Ten commissioner, took over the business side. Like the whole team is different. So like, let's give them a chance here because they really have invested a lot. Like if you're, if you're not looking at the Chicago Bears as a rookie quarterback and thinking like, yeah, this is a team I could potentially come in here and hit the ground running with all of these weapons. And by the way, the defense again was good last year, man. That defense was cooking by the end of the season with Matt Eberflus. They bring him back.
They were.
I think this is a team that's kind of, I'm not going to say that a rookie quarterback makes them a contender, but I do think it's a team that is ready to go with a rookie quarterback.
By the way, you talk about the history of the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, the only NFL team in history that has never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards in a single season. Yeah. Not a one. They're 4,000 yards, Matt. I'm like thinking about this now. It's like, it's crazy, right? Like there's what? 4,000 yards. They've never had a 4,000 yard passer. That's nuts. I don't think anything of Jay Cutler, but I mean, how did Jay Cutler not have a 4,000 yard season at some point in his Bears tenure? It's been
rough. You said player they drafted. They didn't even draft Jay Cutler. So
that's a good point. They got him from Denver, right?
They got him from Denver. And I was going to say that's why the Justin Fields discourse had gotten so toxic on the internet just some of the things Bears fans like said about Justin Fields, you know, you guys don't get it. Like they're keeping Justin Fields. I mean, bro, no, they're not. They never were gonna, like, everybody with that was could approach this with some sanity knew basically by like mid-season when the Panthers were going to be terrible that they were probably not keeping Fields and they were going to take Caleb Williams first overall. Like, that's just been obvious. In my opinion, it's been obvious for months. But I think the reason that it got so toxic was because, like, Justin Fields did two things that Bears quarterbacks, like, never do, which is show legitimate, real flashes of high-end upside.
Oh, yeah.
And two, like, Fields seemed to be super likable. Because even Jay Cutler, like, who did flash like high end upside, maybe not the most likable dude in the world. And then like Mitch Trubisky never flashed anything. You know what I'm saying? So that's why the Fields, because like Fields had given Bears fans something they have never even like sniffed before.
That's a good point.
In terms of just pure hope at the position. Now I think Fields was, it was all hope. It wasn't any actualized like play to this point. which is reflective in obviously what he was traded for. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
look, we love Ryan. Okay, I think Ryan Poles done an excellent job this offseason, but dude, come on, man. This was a flat out like bomb. You can't trade Justin Fields for a sixth, man. Like that's crazy. That is insane. I mean, at this point in the offseason last year, you could have legitimately got a first round pick.
I don't agree with that, but that's
come on. Okay. Well, either way, they could have got, I'll tell you this, they could have got a hell of a lot more than a sixth round pick. My God, there's just nothing. I can't, as a matter of fact, if the compensation is so low, with the backup quarterback market, the way that it is, I would have just said, Justin, we love you. You're going to be a backup, man. And if the opportunity presents itself, you'll get in there. But dude, you're going to be a backup right now. A high quality, low cost backup quarterback. You know what I mean? Because he's still on that rookie scale. I don't know. To trade him away for a six, to me, it just feels, that's a tough look.
Well, it is a conditional six. If he plays more than 51% of the snaps, right, it becomes a fourth next year, not in this draft. So there is that. Right.
Not going to happen, though.
Pittsburgh's going to keep it. Of course it could happen. Have you seen Russell Wilson play football the last 2 years? I know I'm going to get painted as like the biggest Russell Wilson hater on planet Earth, and I mean, that's fine, but it has just been like nuts to me that people, Russell Wilson just starting week one and starting all season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. I mean, the Steelers weren't even going to do that. Like, that's why they just traded for Justin Fields,
right,
to give themselves some real insurance. I mean, Kenny Pickett was awful. And I told you, I've just been charting Deontay Johnson, been reminding myself of just how bad Kenny Pickett was. A lot of bad football you boys watched the last 36 hours, man. I mean, between the damn Commanders offense, the damn Falcons offense, the damn Steelers offense, that's a lot of bad quarterback play I've been watching here. Baby. And then Justin Herbert working with a bunch of goofballs at the outside receiver position. So I'm feeling a little spicy today. I'm just like, this whole Russell Wilson thing has been just driving me nuts a little bit. Like,
okay,
that's why they bring in Justin Fields, I think, to give them some insurance here at the position. So it's very possible he could play 51% of snaps. Let's get that straight. But also, I do think the Bears were in a bad spot here, more than people gave them credit for, with the Fields thing, because everybody knew they were trading him. Like, everybody knew that. So they were a little bit like out. There was really no like leverage here for them. And even when Ryan Poles is kind of like at the combine, well, I don't know, we'll see it. Like, nobody bought it. He didn't have a real good he just couldn't eat. No poker face was going to be good enough to bluff this hand, that they had to get rid of Fields. And I don't agree with you that I think it is an untenable situation to have him in the building at this point, because you see the reaction from players in the building. They love this guy. Like, I think you're inviting fraction. You're inviting division. Mm. That stuff sounds really good on paper. And I agree with you. It does sound great. Hey, Justin Fields, go be a backup quarterback, because you're clearly good enough to be a backup quarterback and probably a really good backup quarterback in the NFL, but you're just creating a lot of division, I think, potentially in your locker room with that. I think you got to give, and it's also fair to him too. And I think that part of me raises my eyebrows at this when people are so quick to tell you like, yeah, they had a better offer on the table, but they wanted to do right by him. I do think they legitimately wanted to do right by him though, and send him to a place where he could compete to start. And that's why he ends up in Pittsburgh.
We've been doing this too long. Teams don't care. Come on. Like, stop putting humanity on these teams, man. These teams are just a stone cold business, man. They don't care. Oh, my goodness. That's why I don't understand the whole, like, the Justin Fields rejected for trade offer. Like, who's putting that out there? Like, that's what I wanted. It's not like he's got a no trade clause. He's on a rookie deal, for God's sakes. Yeah. What the hell does that mean? It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't get that. I don't buy it. Let me just put it to you that way. I don't buy it. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Anyways, by the way, speaking of rumors, Keenan Allen was rumored to the Jets and Texans as well. Also in play in there too, which anywhere. Look, Keenan Allen is so good. Anywhere he goes, it's so interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. But the Jets and Texans, you know, again, either working alongside Garrett Wilson or working alongside Nico and Tank. Interesting, could have been interesting landing spots for Keenan Allen too.
Well, you say rumor. I don't think it was a rumor. Keenan Allen said it At right, the press right, right. conference, by the way, this guy, he's just letting it all hang out, man.
Oh, he don't care.
He does not. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. Which he's like, I'm taking home $23 million next year. I'm good. Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Let's go.
Chargers asked me to take a pay cut. I said nope.
Not gonna do it.
Because again, teams are pretty hesitant to. They don't want you to know they were in the business of trading for this, that, or the other. Right. Unless they get the deal done, then let's throw the parade for us being involved in these discussions. Mm-hmm. Usually when these things get out there, there's a reason for it. And like, there's really no reason for the Texans or the Jets to leak that they were involved in the Keenan Allen trade discussions. But Keenan Allen just gets out there and says, yeah, the two other teams that were that were looking for was the Jets and the Texans. So again, that's crazy on its own. But I do think this is interesting because it shows that they want to still invest in their receiver room for the Jets. Obviously, you need to invest in the receiver room. They're meeting with Mike Williams this week. That's a very different, obviously, fit than Keenan Allen would be in terms of like then where does Garrett Wilson line up, all this type of stuff. So kind of different discussion there. But the Texans too, I know that the Dynasty Bros will take this as like, oh man, stock down for Nico Collins or Tank Dell. They're looking to add to their receiver room. No, it's not. They need number one, yeah. Keenan Allen would play a different position, certainly than Nico Collins, and definitely than probably Tank Dell as well, who I think can play outside, can do slot stuff, but very different type of receiver fit. So I don't take this as negative news. And like, of course they want to add to their receiver room. Guys, like three receivers basically play almost every snap. Like of course, like look at who else is on the depth chart. So now obviously like the Texans won't be able to get a Keenan Allen type. I think this was a unique situation from what I've heard is they were really interested on the idea of getting Keenan Allen in the room, not just insert receiver here. But I do think if they add somebody on the second day of the draft, that will also makes sense to me. It just probably won't be as big of a needle mover as Keenan Allen. And that will also inform us, though, that they were so interested in Keenan Allen as that, like, layup slot receiver can have a really good connection with a high-end smart quarterback like C.J. Stroud, an accurate quarterback like C.J. Stroud. That makes me think, like, who they could target in the draft, like somebody of that archetype.
Although I will say, though, I think when you're trading for Keenan Allen, if you're the Texans, you're doing it for two reasons. Not only because he could still play and give you some of that slot role stuff, but also the just veteran leadership. You know, this is such a young team, insanely young team. You know what I mean? So to have that veteran leadership, I think would have gone a long way. And that's something that obviously you're not going to get in the draft. Right. So could they look at a slot receiver? Sure, absolutely. 100% they could. But I think the reason they look for this trade is twofold. You know, the production and some leadership ability there from Keenan Allen as well. But man, Keenan Allen alongside Garrett Wilson would have been super spicy too. And the way that the Jets have revamped their offensive line already in this offseason to then also add a veteran guy and just go all in on this one season with vice presidential candidate Aaron Rodgers would have been really interesting, you know. That would have been super interesting, man. So anyways,
I think
that would
be a
there.
Perfect fit. I definitely think the Jets obviously are 100 1,000% looking for
receiver
help. Yeah. I mean, shoot, I will say the veteran leadership part. The Texans won a playoff game last year, and Keenan Allen's been in the league for over a decade at this point. He's won two playoff games, so not a lot of done that veteran experience. Like, yeah, with that damn Chargers franchise. Oh, wouldn't go a lot of places. Geez. Not Keenan Allen's fault. Everybody
not Keenan
fault.
Allen's fault, you know? Golly, LaDainian Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers in his prime. Yeah, sure, Keenan, okay. Anyways, Curtis Samuel going to Buffalo. I know this was a move that, to be honest with you, I think the general NFL public probably was like, oh, okay, it's an interesting move. I just have a feeling, and again, I don't know, I didn't talk to you about this, but I just have a feeling that our guy Matt Harmon was way more excited about Curtis Samuel to Buffalo than your normal NFL fan or even your normal NFL expert. 3 years, $24 million, $15 million guaranteed. brother, I just felt like, you know, again, from an X's and O's standpoint, perfect signing in Buffalo to go alongside Stephon Diggs. But again, I'm telling you guys for reals, I've not talked to our guy Matt Harmon about this, but I just know in my soul he is jacked for this signing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I've been more excited about Curtis Samuel than anybody, maybe other than like Curtis Samuel and his family members
for the last five
or 6 or 7 years at this point. So I've gotten a ton of requests from like Buffalo media to come on. And they're already pretty familiar with me because of the Stephon Diggs stuff. So they're, you know, my buddies over at WGR, even the Bills in-house media, you know, hit me up, stuff like that. So this one Bills writer, Ryan Talbot, who does great work covering the team, quoted me from my Yahoo show, a clip I put out there where like literally in print, you can read, Harmon gushed, "Oh my God, I mean, I'm alive, bro. I'm alive. This is awesome. I'm completely thrilled." That is my my expert analysis.
Jesus Christ. I'm alive.
On Curtis Samuel. Yeah, that's I had to crack up when that was a real thing put in print. I'm like, yeah, I'm a very serious person that you should take 100%. Very seriously.
Absolutely.
100%.
Nothing but professional. Yes.
Nothing but professionalism from me. That's for sure.
That's
but on a serious note.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Curtis Samuel is a guy I've really been a big fan of throughout his career. He's been kind of one of those reception perception gems. He had a breakout season in 2020 under current Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady.
That's right.
So I think that makes a ton of sense, the pairing there. And yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a perfect signing for Buffalo because Samuel accomplishes multiple things that the Bills receiver core could not behind Stephon Diggs. Like, this has been a unit behind Stephon Diggs. Like, everything I'm saying is not Stephon Diggs related because Diggs is a great player, elite player at the top of his position. You know, obviously had a weird season to end last year, but throughout the course of throughout the course of his time with the Buffalo Bills, and really before that, has been an elite receiver, A-tier separator, all that. Beyond him, nobody in this receiver room is getting open in Buffalo.
No one.
Nobody. So, and they have
not one.
Except Khalil Shakir, who they took forever to actually play. They're like, oh, we want to play Isaiah McKenzie, who's a converted kick returner. We want to play like Deontay Hardy, another former kick returner.
Well, they want to play two tight ends.
Yeah, we want to play two tight ends. We want to play, we won't want to play Trent Sherfield. I mean, I think Khalil Shakir is a really good player, and I actually think that these three guys are really interesting because I think they can all line up at various positions, which I know is going to be a big talking point because we've seen Samuel play a lot out of the slot. We've seen Khalil Shakir play a lot out of the slot. But you look at Samuel in reception perception dating back to 2018. So these are the four seasons I've charted from him, you know, because of injuries and stuff like that. 2018, 76.6% success rate versus man coverage. 2019, when he was operating as an outside receiver in Carolina, 75.4% success rate versus man. I mean, he just had no quarterback play in 2019. Kyle Allen, you guys remember Kyle Allen, ironically, has played for this Bills team. A lot of connective tissue between the Panthers and the Bills, so you got to keep your head on a swivel there. But primary outside receiver as a flanker, off-ball flanker receiver, 75.4% success rate versus man. In 2020, in Joe Brady's offense, 75.8% success rate versus man coverage. And then 2023, in Eric Bieniemy's Washington Commanders offense, 75.4% success rate versus man coverage. You look at the routes that he's really good on, 83% success rate on the curl, 77.6% success rate on slants. His dig route success rate is really high. His out route success rate is pretty good. He can also win vertically, nine routes, post routes, corner routes. Like, this is a guy that's going to accomplish a lot of the things that, like, Gabe Davis was not able to do as a player that can actually – he can sting you deep. He can win in the vertical game, but he can also separate in the intermediate game and be a true kind of second fiddle to Stephon Diggs. Second, third fiddle, because I think Shakir will be involved there. I think they can still draft receivers as well. So, yeah, I mean, this is a perfect signing for Buffalo, especially when you consider that with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator last year, they focused more on giving Allen layups, giving him some real layups in the passing game. Samuel can certainly do that. And two, like the pre-snap motion stuff. That's going to be – like, they have a guy now, not an Isaiah McKenzie, not a, a Deontay Hardy, like a real receiver, a real separator on these kind of pre-snap motion plays. That's going to be great for the run game. It's going to be great for the pass game. I mean, yeah, A-plus signing for the Bills to get Curtis Samuel here for 3 years, $24 million.
So I just want you to focus in on his man coverage stuff, because for me, I think that was a big surprise. The fact that this guy is just so good at beating man coverage, we're talking, he's flirting around 75% success rate versus man coverage, which again, pushes him over the 80th percentile. I just want to put some of these scores in perspective, right? Like, you throw out all these numbers, maybe you're hearing on the podcast for the first time, you're like, yeah, okay, what does that all that mean? Listen, anytime you're above 75% success rate on man versus man coverage, again, you're over, you're pushing the 80th percentile, right? And when we're talking about pushing the 80th percentile, Matt, I mean, these are some extremely good players that we're talking about, with these type of scores. When I see that for Curtis Samuel, when I see that for a player who has never had a 900-yard season, I'm surprised. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little taken aback, to be honest with you. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are saying, why is this guy gushing about a dude that had 613 yards last year? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, come on now. You know what I mean? It's just, again, never had 900 yards in a season. As a matter of fact, he's only cracked 700 yards one time in his career. So there's a lot of people out there wondering, what is this guy going on about with Curtis Samuel?
Well, I mean, this is why I do what I do. And, like, yeah. I don't care if this never actualizes into fantasy football results or stats or anything like that, because that's all... it's all dependent on outside variables. And, like, look at what Curtis Samuel has played with at times in his career. Right. I talk about that 2019 season, because that was the big year for me. And, like, I thought Curtis Samuel was going to have this breakout year. Mm-hmm. He's running these vertical routes. He ran more nine routes that season in 2019 than in any player I charted other than DK Metcalf. Like, we know that DK Metcalf's a pure vertical receiver. Meanwhile, again, he had Kyle Allen as his quarterback, and then he goes and signs with has a great season in 2020 as the second, third receiver for Teddy Bridgewater in Joe Brady's offense in Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater. Four guys had a 1,000-yard seasons in that offense. They had DJ Moore. They had Robbie Anderson had 1,000 yards. Curtis Samuel had 1,000 total yards. And Davis had 1,000 total yards. Like, that was a pretty good offense there in Carolina. And they got Samuel on more of those layup routes. They got him more opportunities for free releases. They just used him properly that year, and that was his best statistical season. Fast forward to Washington, there's injuries his first season. Yep. Second season, he has a pretty good year, but it's a crowded receiver room, and it's Carson Wentz and Taylor Heineke. And then last year, it's this, I mean, dude, I did not have fun watching the Eric Bieniemy offense back on film as I expected, because I didn't have a lot of fun doing it during the season. We've talked that to death on this show. Yes, we do not need to get into that ever again.
Okay.
But not a good offense and a crowded offense yet again.
Right.
God almighty. I mean, some of those other receivers they were throwing out there beyond the top three, what a mess. I mean, Woof, what a mess. But giving him a lot of designed opportunities, those messy receivers. So not a good offense there. I mean, these are the outside variables that drag down a good player. And I'm not saying Curtis Samuel, just because he's at the 82nd percentile against man coverage, I'm not saying he's a superstar player, but he's a good player, you know, yep, a useful player to have around, and a guy that I think is going to boost up the Bills in terms of where they're weak. Do I think he's going to be a fantasy league winner? Like, no, and I don't care. I think he's a good player, though, and he's going to help this offense.
Well, can I just say, man, I'm going to go out on a ledge, man. I'd have to go look at the situation and all that kind of stuff. But again, keep in mind, too, Joe Brady's working with Ken Dorsey's playbook here, right? Last year, this is actually, he's going to get a full offseason now to install his playbook, which I'm really excited about. They go out and they go sign Curtis Samuel. So, and again, I'm sure Joe Brady had some kind of say in this situation. So again, when you put all the connective tissue together, man, I'm excited. I'm just going to go out and say, I might even put Curtis Samuel on my March to 1100. You know, I'm looking at this.
Well, you go
out
there.
I'm looking at this player. I know. I'm looking at this player. I'm looking at this offense. I'm looking at this quarterback. And I'm excited, man. He's 28 years. He's going to go into his age 28 season. As you mentioned, you know, extremely good man beater, great against zone too. He's a clear cut number two, I think, in this Bills offense, and he's working with an offensive coordinator that he's worked with before. There's a lot of ingredients here for him to have a true breakout season in 2024, which is crazy because it feels like he's been in the league for freaking forever. In 2017 was his rookie year. He's 21 years old, you know. So again, I'm excited. I'm not officially putting my, you know, stamp on that yet, but what is the motto of reception perception, man? It's telling you who's good before they're good. This is the guy. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. Not everybody that I chart and like is going to become, you know, the next dynasty superstar. I think that's, you know, worth noting. And Curtis Samuel's a good example of that, because sometimes things happen. And, you know, sometimes you could be a really good real life receiver and it doesn't always account to fantasy points. But again, if that was the case, like, you wouldn't need me. Okay. You wouldn't need me. You'd only need me to chart rookies and that's it. Like, which is not what I'm doing. Correct. I'm actually sure some people would probably just wish I did that, but that's not the point of what reception perception is. So, yeah, man, I think Samuel's a good player, I'm very excited about how he fits in here. I do think it's going to be interesting. Just, I think Buffalo could still take a receiver in the draft, but this now indicates they don't have to take a receiver in the draft. Right. Like, to me, before this acquisition, I was like, if Buffalo doesn't take a receiver in the first round, like, that receiver room is going to be in a really mess. Dire straits. Now, like, they, if the right guy, like a big ball-winning ex-receiver fell to the 28th pick, you know, they could take one, and I think it would be a really good pick. But now you, A, don't need to do that, and B, even if you do take a player there, he doesn't have to start, like, right away. You can bring him along slowly, and then, okay, by the way, like, all right, maybe Curtis Samuel, who's had injuries before, you know, maybe Stephon Diggs, like, you need to move him around more, you need to get him away from press coverage, stuff like that. I don't know, I'm not saying that's the case, but now you have positional flexibility there, and that's just the last thing I would say here, is that you know, Khalil Shakir is another player I really like. I think Khalil Shakir can play outside a little bit, you know, for Samuel to get some slot reps. I think Curtis Samuel can play outside for Khalil Shakir to continue to get slot reps. Like, I think the reaction from people has been that those guys are overlappy, and I totally disagree with that. I think that Khalil Shakir probably is more of that, like, get the ball in space, and Samuel can get the ball in space and is a yak guy for sure. But, like, they're just different type of slot receivers, different type of receivers. Like, Samuel's a guy you want running those routes, like I said, digs and outs and corner routes, getting the, like, being more of a downfield threat than he has been, because he hasn't look at the freaking quarterbacks he's played with, man. Who do you think among the guys he's played with is supposed to be pushing the ball down the field? Nobody. And last thing too, just on Curtis Samuel, man, the fact that this is a guy who continues to get opportunities from people that he's played with, and not just like, okay, you know, this guy used to coach him and he'll give him a little prove it deal. Like, he's gotten 3-year deals now in free agency from his old coach in Carolina, Ron Rivera and Scott Turner and all those guys. Mm-hmm. And then again, here in Joe Brady, Sean McDermott, who was, you know, with the Panthers previously, as well, not necessarily when Samuel was there, but like, that just is a good sign. This guy's like, there's a coveted role here for this player. I think I'm with you on that part of it.
You know what else they could do if they don't decide to go young at the position? They could sign some interesting free agents. And really, these three guys, they're all ex-receivers. Mike Williams, Odell Beckham, Michael Gallup. Again, we're recording here on a Monday afternoon. I feel like Buffalo could actually go out there and give it a go with any one of those three players just to see what they got left. I don't think any of the three guys that I mentioned, Mike Williams, Odell, or Michael Gallup, are going to get big money deals. First of all, free agency's well on its way. A lot of the free agent money has dried up. Draft around the corner. Although I will say this too, Matt, it's really interesting given this year's draft class with a lot of big X receivers, plus given the free agent market with some of these X receivers too, there's a lot of teams that need an X, and there's a lot of X receiver types that are going to be available. But I think those three guys that I mentioned too could be in play here for Buffalo. I think Mike Williams already met with the Buffalo brass. So they're obviously thinking about maybe adding a little bit more to that room as well.
Yeah. Mike Williams also meeting with the Panthers, the Steelers, and the Jets. Of those three, I think the Jets make a ton of sense because you can use him as the X. And then Garrett Wilson, who has told me previously, like, I love to run big over routes out of the slot. I love to work out of the slot. You can use him all over the field. You don't have to tether him to one position. And they desperately need receivers. That makes sense. The Panthers also make sense because they just need X receivers. They need receivers for sure.
Yeah.
And they definitely need X receivers after they ran out damn DJ Chark as their X receiver last year. So that makes sense. They're also talking to Michael Gallup too, the Panthers. So they're clearly telling you they want an X. And I think all these guys, like, cause you mentioned the draft class has a lot of X receivers. All of these players could end up becoming kind of like post-draft signings. Like, all right, we didn't get our X. Let's sign Michael Gallup and kick the tires. Right. Beckham, I definitely feel like My read on Beckham is he probably definitely ends up being a post-draft guy. You know, he tweeted goodbye to Baltimore or posted on Instagram goodbye to Baltimore. So probably not going back there. He's a guy that could be a Jet for sure. And then lastly, it was pretty funny that Mike Williams is talking to the Steelers. I was like, George Pickens and Mike Williams, like, that's very, very samey. That's one where it's like, that's the same role, same route, incredible contested catch, like a little bit better separation than people give him credit for, but not an elite separator. So that was like, that's very, very Spider-Man meme to me, Williams there. But yeah, I definitely think these guys are all potential X receiver options. And I think I definitely think Mike Williams is the most interesting one, even though he's coming off injury. In this group here.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. All right, so there you go. That's the show. You know why our show is different, Matt? Everyone tells you to keep it short, keep it sweet. You know, just keep it moving. Everyone wants to talk about all like 20 players in a show. We talked about two. We talked about Keenan Allen and Curtis Samuel. And you know what's crazy? Our show does well, so suck it. All right. Anyways,
I have no idea now.
We're doing good, baby. I don't know how either, man, because again, we just completely just flip it on its head. It's like, oh, you want to talk about more play? No, we're going to talk about two guys. We're going to spend 50 minutes talking about two guys, and you know what, great convo, so screw it. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do it our way. We're going to keep winning, baby. I love it. Anyways, that's the show, man. We'll catch you guys in a couple of days here for Matt Harmon. I'm James Coe. We'll see you. And remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.